Thanks for listening to this podcast. For more information about the City Gate, visit www.thecitygate.org.
Everyone good? Usually people are getting out of church by now, but not us. Hour and 20 minutes, and then we're taking up offering and doing the word, right? I love it. I absolutely love it. Well, you know, Apostle asked us to, Alex and I, to bring the word about fathers from a son's perspective this morning. And so that's what Alex and I are going to tag team here. He might grab the mic and interrupt me and say something. You know, that's just kind of how we roll here. So, but you know, I'm excited because this house is very, it's like every day is Father's Day here because the father's heart is so a part of this house and it's a part of the DNA here. And that's what's really been on my heart the last really couple weeks. I think Ian and I were talking just about, you know, what keeps people at Citygate, like what keeps the consistency here. And it's about the father's heart and it's the DNA of Citygate. And I want to read something that I've written this week and that's really close to my heart about what I've seen here and what's kept me here and what's really energized me through the last year or so of being a part of the house here. And it's funny because Natalie woke up this morning. We woke up and we were up early and drinking coffee and we were talking and for the last 2 weeks, this has been on my heart about the DNA of the house. And I wanted to speak on it this morning, DNA of the house, like what it's the father's heart is all about. The father's heart in this house. That's the DNA. That's like us, right? And Natalie has no idea. And so we get up this morning, we have coffee, and she's journaling, and she's like, God's talking to me this morning about DNA. And I was like, of course he is. You know, we're so prophetic. That's just how we do. You know, we ring the bell, we wave the flags, we, you know, we blow the shofar, we're just crazy like that. But God moves. I'm telling you that in the everyday life of all of us here, all us shareholders, everyone that's in this prophetic vein, it's so, it's crazy. It's like when you get a hold of what's going on here in the DNA and everything that is a part of this house, you start living it out every day and you're like, oh. You don't just get blown away on Sunday morning. You're getting blown away on a daily basis. And you're like, wow, every single day God's doing something. And it's really, really exciting. And so I hope you can grab hold of that and believe that with me this morning. Amen? Let's pray. Father God, send forth your word this morning with power. God, it's not about me. It's not about Alex. It's not about the music. It's not about anyone. It's about you, God, and it's about you going forth with power. And so, God, I pray to be invisible this morning. God, I pray that your word would be spoken, not anything of me, but completely of you, Father God. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so I want to read this thing to you that's been on my heart, and it's about the DNA, the deoxyribonucleic acid. You didn't think I was going to say that, huh? Any science majors here? Not me. If you come to Citygate, watch this. Check this out. I'm going to read this. This is key. And I texted this to Clay and just been mulling this over all week. Watch this. If you come to Citygate because of the music and the worship leaders, in a year or two, that's going to change and you'll want to leave. If you come to Citygate because of the preaching from Clay or Dan or Jim or even Dutch, in a couple of years down the road, you will be disappointed and you'll walk away because that's going to shift a little bit, the teaching. You understand what I'm saying? I'm not saying people are going to leave. What I'm saying is the message is going to change and shift a little. And one Sunday morning that you got really excited about the message and now Matt's preaching and you don't like it, you're just going to walk away. You hear what I'm saying? Watch this. But if you're grafted into the house because of the DNA of the spirit of adoption, the kingdom living, and the kingdom principles that are a part of this house, you won't be shaken when things change and shift. You see what I'm saying? That's the beginning. If you're grafted into the house because of the DNA, which is the spirit of adoption, kingdom living, and kingdom principles, you won't be shaken when things change and shift. Now, this word is a very house-specific word this morning. that Alex and I are carrying. It's very much about what's going on here at City Gate to encourage you and to push you forward, okay? If you catch the Father's heart in this house and the spirit of adoption that rests not only on Apostle Clay, but all the leadership and the shareholders here, you will not leave when the style changes or when the preaching changes. You hear what I'm saying? Because you've caught the DNA of the Father's heart for this region, you will not be defined by what you do, but who you are. It's the spirit of adoption on the house, defeating and expelling the orphan spirit that surrounds this region and this Western culture. That's, in a summary of my heart for the last few weeks, that's what I've been carrying. And in our Western culture, there's no more fathers. In this region, in the Mid-South, in Memphis, there's not many fathers. And so there's troubled children, there's an orphan spirit over this region and even over the Western culture. The marriage statistics, I won't even get into them. The divorce statistics, the child outside of wedlock statistics, the children that grow up without fathers. I don't even have to tell you about them because you know them all. Or at least you've heard it before, and it's very dramatic, and it's very disappointing. But what this house carries, and something I've grabbed hold of that's keeping me here, is not the music. It's not the preaching from Dutch, which I'm honored to sit under and be a part of, as we all know. But it's not that. It's not events when Damon comes. It's not events. It's not Michael Ball and Jess and releasing their sound. That's incredible, and we love to sit under that and be a part of it, but it's not about that. What all of that is encompassing, and it's under the umbrella of the Father's heart. And so today, as Father's Day, is a significant day in this house, because it's truly what surrounds everything we do. And it's very important that we realize that if we're coming here because the music is great and we love Michael and Jess and we love Ian and Matt and Natalie and all of the leaders that are up here that are releasing this sound, it's a very unique sound in this region. But if that's why we're coming, no, not a good idea, because that'll change and you'll walk away and you'll be disappointed. If you're coming because you love sitting under people like Dutch Sheets and Damon and Ken Malone and even Clay, sitting under all these great leaders, if that's why you come, it's not, you need to check your heart, because that'll change and you will be disappointed and you'll walk away and you'll be hurt because of your expectation of why you came. Does that make sense? So I want to hit that again. If you're grafted into the house because of the DNA of the spirit of adoption, kingdom principles, and kingdom living, you will not be shaken when things shift and change. Because in the kingdom, things will shift and things will change. The message will change. I'm not talking about the message of salvation. I'm just talking about what we're geared towards in this region. The message is going to change a little bit. Even the leadership. Natalie and I are over the worship, but we're not up here every week, like Clay said. Are they going to be leading every week? Absolutely not, because that's not their job. Our job, Natalie and I, our heart is to raise up other worship leaders, is to see, hey, you've got a gift in singing. Let's get you up here. Hey, you've got a gift in leading. Let's get you up here, right? That's our heart, is to get other people up here. And so one day, you might not see us up there for 4, 6, 8 weeks. And if we're why you were here, then you might just peace out. You see what I'm saying? And I'm not trying to make it about me, but you hear my heart on this, right? But listen, watch this. If the key to everything about the Father's heart is that if you're defined, you have to define yourself. If you define yourself by what you do instead of who you are, you will keep wandering. Jim Lehman spoke last week, and he spoke on how he pastored for, I don't know, he's pastored for forever. I don't know, 20 years, 30 years, something like that. And when he was pastoring his last church in Atoka, God spoke to him and said, I want you to go into the marketplace ministry. If Jim was defined himself as pastor of this church, and then God said, go be in the marketplace, he would be lost because he knew himself and he defined himself and his identity was surrounding pastor of this church. But God picked him up and moved him over to marketplace ministry. His identity and his, he didn't get confused or frustrated or lost or didn't wander because his identity was in, I'm a child of God and I'm going to do his work as I go. And I just happen to be pastoring a church right now. But now I'm moving into marketplace ministry. We have to get that identity. Alex Contos was I just found this out. It's awesome. He was a youth pastor in Alabama for 6 years. If he defined himself, if he caught his identity all up in the fact that I'm a youth pastor, and now he makes duck calls. It's funny because he has a huge beard. But it's true. He works over in Memphis and he makes duck calls for a company. If he defined himself as youth pastor, that's who I am. That's what I do and that's who I'm identifying myself in. When God picked him up out of youth ministry and put him into the ministry of duck calls, making duck calls, he would be wandered, lost, dazed, and confused. Do you understand what I'm saying? But Alex is not defined by youth pastor. He's not defined by a person who makes duck calls. He is defined, he is identified as a child of God. And when you identify yourself as a child of God, you can go to and fro and go as God sends you. And you don't have to be like, God, what am I doing? I'm not a youth pastor. What am I doing? I'm not supposed to be in marketplace ministry. You don't have to worry about all this confusion because you're defined by God and what he says about you. Yes, the giftings a lot of times stay the same. The gifting on Jim's life is pastoral and apostolic. And so he's operating in those gifts in the marketplace now, though. If you're defined by what you do, you're defined by activity or a schedule. And when the activity or the schedule changes, you become lost, wandering, hurt, and wondering. You hear what I'm saying? When the schedule changes, you get all freaked out because you're not really identifying yourself as what you should be identifying yourself as. You hear me? That's pretty much all I'm going to speak on. I'm going to let Alex come up here and take over in a minute, but we have to understand that if we're identifying why we're at Citygate by the music, or I like that it starts at 10 and not 9, or I like that we worship for an hour before we, you know, go into anything else, or I like that we do this or that, that's not right. You need to identify yourself as a child of the house. And it's clay that carries that heart that helps the leadership carry it and helps all of us carry it. And we have to realize that we carry that Father's heart too. That the Father's heart that clay carries, everyone that's around him starts to, what do we call them? Keith Stone talked about it a couple weeks ago. Things that clay says that we end up saying. Clay verbs. With that. And everything with that. We end up talking like him and saying things similar to him because we're around him so much. And I don't mind it because he carries the Father's heart for this region, right? And so I hang around him long enough, I'm going to start saying all my words wrong and saying registration as restration. The point is not that we all... that we all have to be like clay, but listen, when we're around him, we start to carry something. Clay says, time out. I don't know if I should let him.
Can I set up a counseling appointment for inferiority right after church? Okay.
Was that an appointment? You hear my heart on this? And I'm not trying to sound like clay, but I was being serious. You see, we start to... That's what happens when you hang around the Father so much. That's what happens when you're in Jesus' presence. I feel like the reason a lot of us love sitting and soaking when Michael and Jess are leading worship is because Michael and Jess, their heart is to just sit with Jesus. I can tell you, they're good friends of mine, that they just do that at the house. Michael just does that. Jess just does that. They just sit in Jesus' presence, and they just hang out, and they write songs with God. And they just soak in his presence. And then when they get up there, they're carrying that. And then we're like, whoa. I just want to love on you, Jesus. And we become like that. And all of a sudden, throughout my week, I'm singing like Michael Ball. And I'm like, what is this? You know, it's like getting on me. Like Clay's heart is getting on me. And listen, that's what that is. When you spend time so much with the Father, like Clay has and like Clay does, that becomes the DNA of the house. And that's on Dan and Vicky. Such a strong pastoral calling. And a fathering and mothering heart that they carry. You hang around them long enough, you're going to soften up and be so gentle. And I'm telling you, I hang around Dan for 15, 20 minutes. I walk away and I'm like, I feel so good. I feel like I was all tense before, but Dan is just like, it's okay. Am I right?
What does it feel like when you walk away from that?
When I walk away from Clay, I'm like, I got to get something done here. Come on. Someone give me a red bandana. Put it around. Give me a wagon. Come on. We got kingdom work to do. I need to go see Dan.
Put up that picture that Amy Rylander did of Clay.
Do we have that picture up there in the database? And we'll find it. That's funny. But it's so, you hear what I'm saying? It's so true. If we hang around each other long enough, we're going to start being like each other. That's why kids are so much like their parents. That's why I start saying things that all these leaders are just, you know, speaking into my life. I believe it. And I'm like, yes, I want to run like that. What that is the Father's heart. That's what this house is carrying. And that's what we need to realize and come under with such intensity. We need to be like, some of us, I feel like in here, need to get a hold of this and plant roots. Because some of us are here and coming and going. There's the picture right there. That's why I said, put on a red bandana and run around. Talk to Dan. Shh. Talk to Jim. Now I'm speaking Hebrew and all this stuff. Hang around Jerry Berry. Praise God. Be walking around all day. Praise God. And I'm going to come up and talk to you like you're right here. Right? You know what I'm saying? It's a good thing. We can laugh about it. We can laugh about it. I'm telling you, we can laugh about it because Jerry is who he is in Christ. Michael and Jess are who they are in Christ. Dan and Vicky, Clay and Susan are who they are in Christ. And that's what they carry. And that's what they walk around in. And it's so authentic. That's why, you know, if someone was around me being real, you know, just fake and not very authentic, you can kind of sense that and you can kind of tell and you're kind of like, oh, just walk away and not be like that. And that's what a lot of the church is right now. They're just producing something that's not authentic. They're making something that has worked in the past to try to work again, and they're trying to reproduce it, and it's not authentic. That's why you've got a bunch of people walking around like zombies with no power. But when you get around someone who lives it and walks in it and operates in the power of the blood of Jesus, you become like that. And you say, I want to go to the Walmart and prophesy over somebody. I want to go to the gas pump and look at someone and speak a word into their life. That's what this house is carrying. And we need to get excited about it and get committed about it. I'm going to hand it over to Alex. Come on up here, man. But that's what we need to get a hold of. I might get me a motorcycle. Natalie's been asking me for a motorcycle now. I'm praying, God help me. But, you know, it's true.
Check.
He thinks Nate needs one. But listen, we get around this authentic. It's so real and powerful and true that we start to become like it. And that's what this house is carrying. We're a little weird, yeah? But hey, God's out of the box. He's not in a box here. That's why we don't start preaching until 11:30. Alex, take it over, man.
All right. Well, let me get out the latest version of the iPad. It's mine. New paper version. And I still rock a dumb phone, so I'm not real. anyway, but yeah, great word, Matt. Great word. And thank God I'm not defined by being a youth pastor, because that was awful at times. Sometimes I'll be like, thank you, God, I'm out of that, you know. It was, could be awful, very rewarding and very awful at the same time. This is not a Duck Dynasty beard or Duck Dynasty hair. It's just called laziness and forgetting where to put. Or we could, if we want to get really prophetic about things, I could say, well, it's just a prophetic act that I'm going to make millions like they are. So grow the beard, let it go, whatever it wouldn't be. Who knows? So got that out of the way, because I get asked all the time, hey, you look like one of those guys from Duck Dynasty. I'm like, yep, I make duck calls for a living too. So for real? Yep. So yeah, those guys are pretty cool. They've been around for, you know, some people think they've just come out within the last couple years, but Phil has been living that lifestyle for years. I've got VHS tapes of him. So, I mean, way, you know, and Jace when he was younger and all that. And, you know, I hear sometimes, well, they just grew the beard for that show. No, they've had the beards and that look and that lifestyle for years now. So, and they've been preaching Christ in videos and stuff like that for years. And I believe they're the real deal. And I enjoy the things they have to say. And they've really become a cultural icon now. And they're affecting tons of lives. And some duck hunters, hardcore duck hunters, don't like them at times because we feel like they sold out or, you know, all this stuff. But they look at it from a Babylonian system. Look at that. That's great. They look at it from a Babylon system. And, you know, it's like, it's just they don't see what they're doing for the kingdom of God and the people they're reaching that would never, ever be reached any other way except through hearing, you know, through that TV show and all that. But first of all, you know, Matt, man, I just appreciate what he brought today, and I believe that the thing he brought is really a part of who he is, and just he's just carrying that even within him, and our sincerity in his heart. I got to sit down with him at Starbucks over in Germantown on Friday, and it was really my first time ever getting to spend any time with him alone and just talking with him. And, man, we got there like at 5:30 and they kicked us out about 9. I mean, like literally they said, we're closed, leave. And they weren't very happy, but we got up and we were like, all right, bless y'all. You know, I can't remember, just, you know, y'all have a good evening. And, they were very excited, I guess, to see us leave. But we would have probably been there till 11 or 12. We were just talking and you start playing ping pong with one another, bouncing things off and goes back and forth. But it's sitting in there. I got to thinking about it yesterday, sitting in there and just talking with him. And I had an idea of what he might be speaking on the day, but to hear it come out of him and to realize that the way he talked with me the other day is the same spirit that was on it this morning was the same way he engaged me the other day. To see the sincerity sincerity, to see him engage me in conversation and really act like he cared about who I was and who I am as a person and my story and what I'm doing and where I've come from, that it was really a sincerity in him in that I felt like this guy really cares. He asked me those questions not out of just a formality, but out of, hey, that's who I am. I want to know who you are. Share your life with me. And so that's the same heart that we're looking for within this house and within this region, within this nation, that will change cultures, because there's a lack of fathers that are out there today. And first of all, I just need to honor Apostle Clay and Miss Susan for allowing us to be up here today to be able to do what we're doing. The older I get, the more mature I get in the Lord, the more that I realize and respect when a man and woman of God of their stature are able to open up a pulpit and allow people to come and have freedom and say, do what you do and be who you are. That is an honor. To me, it's an honor, and I appreciate it more and more and more every time, because they don't have to do that, but it's who they are, and it's not about just them. They see down the line. It's like in Abraham producing Isaacs, producing Jacobs, that will see the vision of the Lord come to pass. It's what he is. It's what they are. Abraham's that produces Isaacs, that produces Jacobs, that sees the manifestation of the vision that Yahweh gave to Abraham produced in the earth. And that's what they're about. And that's what you're about. It's what we're about. But I want to start off, and I want to give a disclaimer, because the very beginning, because I don't know how some of the stuff I'm going to say is going to actually come out. And I don't want anybody to take it as a way of he's mad at somebody, he's pointing fingers at somebody, he's upset with fathers, he's mad at people, he's telling me I haven't been a good father, I'll never be a good, whatever. I don't want you to hear any of that. What I want you to hear is a sincerity in me about what I bring to you today. And what I want you to understand, that I'm not angry, not mad with nobody, not upset with anyone. I don't know how what I'm going to say is going to actually come out. It could come out in tears. It could come out in rawr. I don't know. We're just going to see. But the thing is I'm not Holy Spirit. All I'm here to do is just release word and then let Holy Spirit deal with you on whatever I say, how he wants to deal with you on that. And that's one of the greatest things that I have finally just really realized, that I am just who I am. I say what God tells me to say. I do what he tells me to do, and I leave the rest up to him. And I allow him to be Holy Spirit. I tell you, if you go around trying to change people all your life, it's no fun. It's no fun. I did that in youth ministry. I had nobody to tell me any differently. I did that within youth ministry, and you're trying to raise up all these armies and rah, we're doing this, and change your lifestyle and do this and go to school and do that. And it's like, God, they're not getting it. But you're trying to change people. That's Holy Spirit's job. And once I realized that, so good. So let me just start off with this. And what I start off with is probably going to sound kind of weird, because we've had like this really joyful time today, and it's really great, and it's been a really great time in the presence of God. And you're like, man, you start off with a negative statement. And I don't intend for it to be negative, but I feel like it's reality, is that there's no such thing, in my opinion, from a son's perspective, there's no such thing as a perfect father. Notice, I said there's no such thing as a perfect father. No such thing. You don't. There's no such thing. And I don't think it's very hard to realize or to understand that we're all imperfect people. I'm imperfect. I don't do things right all the time. I'm not a perfect son. You're not perfect people. I think everybody can say, well, you know what? We're not perfect. But there's a thing whenever you're young and you're small, you're a little kid, that you see your dad, you see a father in your eyes, he can do no wrong, you think, you know, whenever you're little. It's like, my dad is the smartest dad in the world. My dad can throw a paper airplane further than your dad. My dad can beat your dad up. My dad can hit a baseball. You know, my dad can throw a football from here to, I don't know, Goodman or wherever. You know, whatever. And you have these lofty ideas about your dad. And that's good. That's great. But there's somewhere that we get into a place and a point to where although we realize they're not perfect, it's like we want to hold them to that perfect standard. And when they don't live up to the perfect standard, it causes hurt and it causes pain, it causes grief. Now, I do understand that there can be good fathers, that people have actions and the way they live their lives can be good. There's no doubt about it. People have their fathers that have great fruit as a father. But then there's a story on the other side where there's people that have bad fruit as a father. Everybody in here has a different story concerning your father. You can say he was a great father. He provided. He loved me. He gave me emotional support. He did everything that a good father would do. And there's some of you on the other side that can say, I never knew my father. They abandoned me at the age of 2 months. Or whenever my mother said, hey, I'm pregnant, they said, well, I'm through with you and I don't want anything to do with the child. And by that type of fruit, we could, I guess, label, you know, that's not such a good father. So there's this big spectrum. But many of us also, we fall somewhere within that spectrum. We might not go to the extreme on the good and maybe not the extreme on the bad, but we have our own story. And within that, I believe that there are many people that are walking around today with what we might call with father wounds. That you have father wounds on the inside of you. And you're walking around with pain. You're walking around with anger. You're walking around with bitterness. You're walking around with hatred. You're walking around with unforgiveness and judgments built in you in a room that you've created that you won't let anybody into. And you've carried those things around, and Yahweh, our Heavenly Father, the perfect Father, realizes that those things that are within you are stifling who you are in this earth. There can be many different ways those things manifest. Those things can manifest through insecurities. Those things can manifest through in depression. Those things can manifest. You oftentimes see it, or in my case, I've seen it with young women who go out and they sleep with every man that they can sleep with, trying to feel the love of a man. And really, they're looking for the love of a father, but they think that if I can just get him to sleep with me and feel that's a love. And it's not. It's chasing love in all the wrong places, as the old song would say, or something like that. But it's many different ways these things can manifest in our lives. But we have to come to the place of realizing that our fathers are imperfect. They're not perfect people. And for some of them, the only example they had of a father was also an imperfect father that never loved them, that never gave them affirmation, that never was able to hug them and touch them and say, I'm proud of you. I love you. And so that was their example. And there comes a point in which God, he wants us to be able to say, you know what? I see my father through eyes of mercy. I finally see my father through eyes of mercy. And I declare today that there is an unforced rhythm of grace within this place that is going to allow you to see your father with eyes of mercy today. And it's going to allow Father God to be able to go into the place of that of your heart, the place that you hold the key to. And it's going to, and he is going to help you unlock that room and open that room up. And with you, with all the fears that you have of letting things go, because see, sometimes we've held on to pain for so long that it's what we're comfortable with. And we don't know how to live or operate without the pain in our life. And I, you know, sometimes I wonder why it seems like deliverance and stuff like that is in progressions. It seems to be progressive, layer after layer. And I realize that if Yahweh stripped me of everything that was wrong with me and made me completely what you could say, just free, completely, totally, with nothing wrong, I probably wouldn't know how to live. I don't know if that makes sense, but I just know that I've had layers pulled off of me. And when I've had layers pulled off, I'm like, whoa, I'm experiencing life totally differently. And I'm thinking, but if everything that this layer pulled off and the layer before that was pulled off at the same time, I don't know what I'd do. It's like, whoa. And I know that sounds funny. How can freedom not, you know, seem like, well, that's not such a good thing, you know, but it's these layers having to be pulled off. But God, I believe he wants to deal with some of those rooms that are within your heart today. Even while we were singing this morning about breaking the chains off, I saw those chains that had been on those rooms, but I heard a, now listen, I heard a sound within a sound through the drums today when the cymbal was hitting, ting, ting. It's breaking chains. It's breaking them off. And as Dan said, the chains are off. Now you have to unlock, just open the door. But you have to be willing to let God go into that secret place within you and begin to deal with those hurts and those pains and those issues. See, there's some parents, there's fathers and mothers, but we're dealing with fathers, but it applies to mothers. There's some that you desire to be a better parent than what you are now. Or maybe you're manifesting some of the same things that you never thought that you would do because your parents did them. You're like, I hate that about my mom, or I hate that about my dad, and I'll never treat my child that way. Yet what you don't realize is that you just made a judgment. Be very careful when you begin to say words, I will never be like this. One thing is you're putting it, as we said this morning, I can do all things through Christ. But one thing, when you begin to say, I will never, you're beginning to put it under your own strength. Who I am, I will never. And then you begin to cast judgments. I will never be like that. Yet the same thing, what does the Word of God tell us? Judge not, lest you be judged. Yet we sometimes want to take that and put it out into the realm of where one day when we die, we're going to go to heaven and God's just going to kind of judge us all. But what if those judgments come back on us now? I've heard stories of people saying, you know, my dad used to beat me all the time. And I said, I never beat my children. Yet they find out when they've got children, they're beating them with whips or beating them with extension cords or whatever they can beat them with. And they're like, why is that? And then they get a revelation from God that says, you made a judgment. Now, forgive your father. Number one, repent for the judgment that you placed upon him. Come back under the authority of God that is the only righteous judge. And release the parent to them, and let's get some deliverance for you. Let's get some healing for you. But it all starts in that place of having to realize they're not perfect. And today, I know Apostle said we're going to have some ministry time towards the end, and I don't know what all that's going to take, you know, what all that's going to consist of. But I just want to declare over this place today, and not only in here, but I'm declaring it in another realm into this whole region, that there is grace today that is being released for people to be able to go into the place of their heart with Father God, and they are able to forgive fathers. They're able to finally release their father into the hands of God, and they're able to go into that place and allow God to go in that room with them. And that you're able to go in there and cleanse that room up of every bitterness, every bit of judgment, every bit of unforgiveness, every bit of pain, every bit of suffering that's caused you, that you may live again, that you may live, that you may come under the full potential of who you are in Christ, and that you may live your life according to the way Yahweh, the perfect Father, has called you to live. You're being set free. There's chains that have been broken, and you're making the decision today to step out from the jail cell and to be free. And there's great grace upon it. Father, we thank you for the grace that you've already released, that's here now, to see the full manifestation of this come forth. Second thing that I want to make a point about is that this past week, I come to the place that I live at, over at Bert and Susan Porsche's house, and I stepped into the backyard, and Bert and Susan and Dan and Vicky were back there and just enjoying one another and talking and sitting in the beautiful garden area that they've got. All the awesome plants and everything back there. It's really cool. They've done a great job of landscaping back there. And we were talking, and Dan asked me or something about, well, what are y'all going to speak on? You know, and so I just briefly said something about fathers. And then, but in the midst of our conversation, I begin to have a vision. And I begin to see a little child, a baby, in a crib. And this baby was crying. And it was in a room that was just completely empty except the crib, and there was a baby in there crying. And I knew that this child was crying out for a father. And I knew that there was a father in the house somewhere, but the father was asleep. And I knew that the father, it might as well, it's weird how it felt, because you just have to, some of you have experienced stuff like this, but it's like, I knew the father was in the house. I knew that he was sleeping, but it was almost like he shouldn't even be there. It's like it was a void. Almost like he wasn't there, although he was and he was sleeping. And so I saw this vision and I knew immediately that it represented individuals. And then I also knew that it represented a generation, the baby. And so then I didn't engage it very hard because we're talking and, you know, whatever, I'm listening. And so the next day at work, making duck calls, sitting there, I said, I want to engage that vision again. So I began thinking about it and got into it again. Don't know how all that works. Just thought about it there. Bam, boom, 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 bam. Started looking at it. Saw the baby again. While I'm looking at this baby, once again, it's crying and doing all the thing. And I began to see blue, baby blue clothes on it. And I knew that it represented a male. And then it went to pink clothes. I knew it represented the female. And then it started flashing back and forth. Blue, pink, blue, pink, blue, pink. Just knew it was representing male and female. It was still crying. Void of a father. And then I saw the Lord stand in the doorway. And I said, well, the Lord hears this child crying. So the Lord's here. He's going to help this child. And he wouldn't move. And he's staring intensely at this child. And I know he sees it. And I know I can feel the love for the child in his heart. And I know he wants to go after the child, but he's sitting there or he's just standing there. And I get nervous about that because I'm like, that's not the Jesus I've been taught about. He's supposed to come help the child. You know? So I just kind of disengaged the vision. I pull out of it really quick, and I'm like, I don't know about that. Maybe that's the devil. Maybe that's my mind. Maybe I'm making things up. You're getting cuckoo out there, you know? And so, like, I get nervous, but then I feel a tugging says, no, go back to it. So I go back to it, and I go back into this vision, and I'm looking at it, and the same, everything's the same, and I see the Lord again. I look at him, and he's just standing there. And I'm like, man, why aren't you doing something, Lord? And I heard the Lord speak. I didn't actually hear a voice, but I heard the impression come up out of me. He said, I want to father this child, but I want to do it through a human. He said, I want to father the child, but I want to do it through a human. And I said, okay, I understand. You only had to say it once. He did. He only said it once. I repeated it twice just then. But he only said it once, but I knew exactly what he meant. And I was like, all right. And see, and sometimes what happens is that goes against some of our theology or some of our wanting to think about God in certain ways, because even, you know, Hebraic thought, oftentimes it can take two truths that seem totally opposite, yet it doesn't bother somebody with Hebraic mindset that it can be, God can be a father spiritually to us, and you can be in a dark place with nobody in your life, and Yahweh can be father to you. No doubt about it. No doubt about it. But also, there's a side also to a truth that he wants to use human beings also to do things. And if we live off one or the other, we don't have proper balance or proper perspective in a circular way that we see it as a whole. He can do both. Both of those are true. Okay? But he said, I want to father this child through a human. And sometimes we think, well, all we got to do is just get them close to Father God and that's it. That's it. And we take away responsibilities that God has set in the natural. We take away responsibilities of a natural father. We take away responsibilities of a spiritual father. And yet there's a generation of people that are crying out for fathers. There is a cry that is going on now for fathers to be awakened. But yet they are void. They're sleeping. It's almost like they shouldn't even, they're not even of any existence. And they don't hear the cry of a generation, and they don't hear a cry of a child. It goes on everywhere. It's going on now. But there's a wake-up call. There's new voices arising that says, fathers, we desire fathers to arise. There's a need for it. There is a need for fathers to arise in the natural and in the spiritual, in the church and in the home, there's a need for that. I mean, it's something to just have the Lord say, I want the Father, but I want to do it through a human. I want to do it this way. And we have to begin to realize that there, you know, the statistics out there that shows of people without fathers, the things that they get into and just the hurts and the pains that they carry, it's just really, it's really sad. And it's something that, that God, you know, God, he intended, he set families up. He set the structure of the family up for fathers in the natural to be able to come along and father children. He set that up. It's a shadow of who he is on the earth. It's a shadow, and we're to feel that shadow. It's a shadow. Being a natural father or a spiritual father, it's like a shadow being cast down in this natural realm, looking for somebody to step into the shadow and fill that shadow up. To model the same, to model the things that are in heaven here on earth. But we void ourselves from that, and we just say, well, people can just go and find them a, you know, Daddy God will just be with them like that. And that's true. It's great. But every once in a while, a young man or a young woman needs to feel somebody grab them and say, I love you. I see the potential in you, son. I see it within you, and I call it forth. They want to know that they're loved. And for some of you parents that are out there today, there's cries from your children saying, Father me, Father me, Father me. I'm not looking for a perfect father. I'm not looking for that somebody to be perfect. They're looking for somebody that just cares. For someone that just cares. You have something you want to say?
Yeah, that's really strong what he's saying about the two perspectives of there's God saying, I want a father, but I want to do it through a human. And then there's the other perspective that says God can be father to you. And I feel like our Western idea and our Christianity, you know, today ideas of, you know, a father is, let's preach to all these people and tell them about Father God and tell them about salvation and have them pray a little prayer. They're good. Mark it off. That's we're done. Just lead them to the Father and that's it. Bye. The Billy Graham movement was great. But what it did was it saved a bunch of people without giving fathers. So I'm telling you, I'm not condemning it. What I'm telling you, it was a great movement of salvation for people. But what it did is it led people to the Father without giving them a Father to spiritually encourage them, to spiritually cut on them, to spiritually say, let me grab your hand and do this. Let me be a spiritual Father to you, because God wants to do it and he wants to be your Father God. And sometimes he is your Father God for a season. But God is calling forth fathers. In this season, God is calling forth fathers in this culture and in this region. And there's a cry because there's been salvation, there's been redemption, and there's been this great, awesome, everyone's getting saved and everyone's going to the Father God, but there's no spiritual daddies anywhere. There's no one out there that says, let me put my arm around you like Clay does, like Dan does. You know, there's no one out there that's doing that. And so, God, I pray forth the fathers. God, I pray forth the fathers to wake up, to wake up and hear the cry of the child that says, I'm looking for a father. God, I pray forth the fathers. God, prostitutes, give them a father. Orphans, give them a father. Drug addicts, give them a father. We don't need all this hype, all this music, all this preaching, all this message, all this teaching. We need fathers. God, send the fathers. God, send the orphans, fathers. God, send the depressed, fathers. God, send forth the fathers. Wake up the fathers. Wake up the fathers.
Let me say on behalf of a generation, I stand in behalf of a generation today. It says, fathers, we forgive you. We forgive you for not being who God has called you to be. And we release you today from that. We release you from false expectations. We release you from things that we thought that you should do. And we release you to the place in the hands of the fathers today, in the hand of the Father today, that you may be released and that you may begin to be the father that you are to be. And on behalf of a generation, I call you forth. We're here. On behalf of a generation, we say, come. And be a part of our lives. Impart into us the things that God has spoken over you and has given to you. We're not looking for perfection. We're looking for someone that cares. This day, come forth. And there's one thing that I realized about just infancy in general. And this relationship will eventually change, I understand. But I want to start with this place of infancy. Is that a child cries for the father. A father has to come to the child. And there's too many people that are running around wanting to be father today that are looking for a father. They're looking. And I'm not saying that that's always wrong. I'm not saying that. Hear me now. But I'm saying there is a place and there's a time in which the fathering spirit is going to come forth and find the children. That's what we desire. They're going to find the children. Look at Yeshua. When he came, as Keystone talked about the other day, he came and he found the 12 and he said, come follow me. And they followed him because they realized that a rabbi for once accepted them and received them. And that they were no longer marked an outcast, but they were marked as somebody that had great significance. And the reason I feel there's such a call for fathers is because where we're going in this earth. You know, one of the things that Damon Thompson said that I really loved, and I agree, I knew this before he even said it, but I really liked to hear him when he said it out loud. He said, we want to see revival. Let's start with revival in the family. We are so much about seeing these big meetings and all this junk, yet we can't do it in our house. And I'm not angry about it, but I'm just saying there's a passion in me that says God is more than a Sunday morning. That God is an everyday God. Everything that I do can be a part of God. I can relate to God in everything that I do. I've had men tell me that I couldn't relate to God in a duck boat somewhere. Yet I've had times in a duck boat out on somewhere with another man of God that has imparted into my life more than anybody could from a pulpit. Because I knew that this person cared, especially when they get up at 3 o'clock in the morning to go sit for 2 hours to wait to hold on a duck hole, to hold a spot down. That's somebody that says, I'll go and do what needs to be done. But they can impart into you. And I've had times of riding in trucks with people where they impart a father's heart within me and they've poured into my life. That is life. That is the kingdom of God. Thank God for times like this. But life is out there. Life is out there. And when I go and look at in the Word of God, I begin to see that it's all about living daily life. It has nothing to do with a bunch of big gatherings all the time. They're needed. But if you can't take what we've learned in a gathering and go and apply it into the natural realm and be productive, is it of any worth? Hebraic thought is all about doing. It's all about doing. I will find out whether this is true or not when I go and do it. Greek thought says, I'll take what you told me and I'll throw it on the shelf and I'll go and preach something and make myself look good because I've got some revelation and I'll give you a bunch of knowledge and that's great. We can yell and we can shout and we can jump around and there's no change in nobody. And we've heard too much about fathers and we've liked the information about it and we've put it on the shelf and nobody stepped up to be fathers. But that's changing. There's people in here that knows this call that's on your life, that knows the DNA of this house, that's going to come forth and it's going to change this congregation, going to change this region, it's going to change this state. Last but not least, I want to show you something that I think that I found it a couple months ago of a father blessing a child. And I think it's hold on. I know we've kind of gone long here, but hold on. It's about 7 minutes long. But when I saw this take place, when I saw this video of this man blessing his child, I literally began to weep because it was powerful to see him grab a son and say, I love you, and to pour into this son. And this is what come up out of me after I could get through tears. I said, that will change this culture. That alone. And I'm going to tell some of you, I've told people, I said, listen, you have trouble dragging your kids to youth groups and all this stuff and trying to get them to go places and sit in church for 2 hours every week and do all this stuff. I said, the answer is simple. Go back to the way God ordained things and take your child and bless them. I'm like, man, I've seen parents struggle with children so much, going to church and fighting and fussing. I'm like, I bet you they've never had a father bless them. But check this out.
Pick one thing when couples pray and do it for 5 to 10 minutes. Don't think of the 16. We've grown into this. It's like it's become a lifestyle on the day timer, but we didn't start there. Just like start with 30 minutes of prayer or 10 minutes for your kids. But you see what I mean? And don't get under condemnation. That's why I always emphasize the Father's house. He loves you. You did the best you could with your kids. I'm learning this stuff in this 5-year span, not 15 years ago. Things like that. I hope you're not getting condemned or accused, but I do want you to learn it so you can get it to your grandkids so they can start doing it right. Does that make sense? Don't let the enemy say, I blew it. Start now. Do something. Do one of the 16. And the reason I love, this is Isaac, John, Joseph, Tuz, my mighty warrior. And we gather on the Sabbath for us now, because I'm not in a full-time ministry role. That's Saturday night for us. And what we do is we gather all of us together and we just light a candle. We take communion together. And everyone's hearts get clean with each other. And this is real simple. It's not a hard thing to do. And we just thank Jesus for his broken body. And we take communion. And we declare healing. Our Downs boy that's 4, we're all believing for total healing for him. And his healing will mark the genetic change of the church. Glory. But we do the stuff right there with communion, the broken body and the blood. And that might take 5-10 minutes. They're getting their lives cleaned up. Might take 1.5 hours. And the power of this, guys, because I've preached this at large YWAM bases and done the blessing. And I've done it in marketplace conferences and I forget, a really big church gathering. And the reason I feel this is so important is I ask the question, why do you believe the Jewish race, the men and women, go into Hollywood and say, I should own Hollywood. I should own the bank system. Now listen to me, I know we're tired. What gets inside of them to go, I should own the banks in New York? Where did that start? I should own all the studios in Hollywood. I should own the telecommunications world. Okay? I believe it gets back to a daddy blessing a son and a daughter every week of their life when they were under their covering. And every day we know there's teaching on that. But I'm saying the Shabbat, the Sabbath, redeem it, grab it. Because it puts something inside of them when they rise up and they're age to rule, it's inside them. It's not, I should rule, I should rule, I should rule. It's like, I'm a ruler. right? Amen? Amen. So basically, I mean, it's really a blast because I wish we could do it with all of them. But I'm going to have Isaac there. Like, I'll sit in a chair and we start with Daniel, who's 4. Now, you guys agree, right? Daniel is like this. I mean, I'm not exaggerating. It's like the cup. I mean, it's like suck it in. And he just loves it, you know. And I put my hands on his face and I look at him. It's amazing what's going on inside of him. He's looking at me. And then the funny thing is he'll back away and kind of go like this. And Isaac will try to get in and go, right? And so we bless him 8 or 10 times that night. And then finally, I have Daniel. Okay, now you lay hands on Isaac. And, you know, this is as simple as it gets. You know, we talked about couples praying eye to eye. You look them in the eye. And you just go, Isaac. And I like to say their full name because we named them by God. You know, Isaac, John, Joseph, tell us. What a gift from God. You know, God gave me your name when I was worshiping at Christ for the Nations, leading corporate prayer. And your sweet mom was pregnant. And the Lord said, Isaac is coming. Woo! Glory. A son of laughter and promise. And Isaac, you are a warrior. And I see such calling and destiny in your life. And I am so proud of you. You make my heart sing. You bring such joy to my life. When I think of you, I weep sometimes, Isaac. I'm amazed by how you're growing in Jesus and how much you love the Word and how God's helping you walk in the prophetic. I so loved ministering with you recently where you got prophetic words for all these guys. Ha! Ah! God! I mean, that happens to me. I don't know about... I'm not making this up. God. I'm so excited you're my son. And I just bless you. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord let his face shine upon you. This week, may he bless you with intimacy and his face to shine upon you. May he give you dreams in the night hours and be gracious to you and give you shalom, spirit, soul, and body. Amen? Amen. Amen. I love you. I love you. That's how easy it is. Ha!
Okay, you can stop
it. Amen?
You can stop it right there, but did you...
Now,
did,
I think...
I know I that... Did y'all feel the Father's heart in that? You can feel that shaking on the inside of you. You can feel that. And that's how what I believe is can be something that is so simple that actually brings real change in the earth, that makes a lack of a void of a father's in a culture. Because you can hear when he says things like, I accept you, I love you. You can feel that rise up in you. That right there, no amount of money will ever buy. No matter how good of a provider someone is, that they will never get from a tangible object what they got from hearing that, the affirmation of a father. And I challenge you fathers today that are out there, both spiritual and natural, to bless your children, to bless them. I know there's not a lot of Jewish people in the world, I mean, in this nation. I know they're a small percentage. But prisons are not full of Jewish people. And this is not a thing about trying to make it Jew and all this. It's not about that. But it's about principles of God that they have picked up on. And they have blessed. And they believe in blessing children. You don't see that men of that race inside of prisons and inside of boys' homes and all that type of stuff. You just don't. And yet you can look at anything in society and at the very top, they are ruling it. They own those things. The New York Yankees, my favorite baseball team, Steinbrenner. Jerry Seinfeld. George Lucas might be Jewish. Steven Spielberg. tons of different people. Look in any industry and you find it. One of my favorite places to shop, Discount, Steinmart. Anyway, long story short, Father's blessing. I believe the first impression I had when I saw that was this will change a culture. And that's all I have, Apostle.